So, Tim, are you ready? Woo! Tim is gone, and Don and I are back there trying to make sure everything works. So, Don's got the recording going, I hope. We'll see later on if he did. Waiting is hard. Young children, they see the gifts under the tree, and they beg to open just one, please. And when they're told, no, they need to wait, they respond with, I can't wait that long. Tim has been gone for a little under 24 hours now, and he won't be back in here for two more Sundays after this. I don't know if I can wait that long. It's not easy running that sound system back there. That's all I got to say. There's a person who is in great pain, and they're told by the doctor's office, the doctor can see you in a month. And they respond, I just can't wait that long. Parents, they get word that their child who lives across the country has been in an accident and is in serious condition. So they call the airline and they're told the next available flight is not until tomorrow morning. And they respond with, we can't wait that long. Waiting is hard. Today, as we begin our Advent series, it is the questions of Christmas. And today, the question I'd like for us to look at or to talk about is, how can I wait so long? You see, Advent, it is a time of waiting. We've all had times when we've blurted out, I just can't wait that long. See, we don't like to wait, especially if we've had to hurry up for something and then we have to wait. You know, you hurry to get to the airport so you can get through the security, the TSA line, and then you sit there and you wait to board your flight. A wife, she begins experiencing these labor pains, and so the couple quickly get all their stuff together and they rush to the hospital and then they wait for the baby to be born. You make an appointment to see the doctor, and you hurry up to get to the doctor's office for this test that you have to have. And then you sit there, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait. That's why it's called the waiting room. God's people are often called to wait. Remember when Moses, he went up on Mount Sinai to meet with God? And because he didn't return quickly enough, the people, they rebelled, and they made a golden calf. They found it hard to wait for God to work out his purposes. They don't like waiting, neither do we. Luke tells us in his gospel that Mary knew about hurrying and then waiting. It's in chapter 1 of Luke, which is part of the Christmas story. And we've already been told that God broke into Elizabeth and Mary's lives with the promise of these miracle babies. And then in verse 39, we read, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. And then Mary meets Elizabeth, and there's this joy, and there's the baby bouncing inside. And then there's Mary's song, where Mary sings this song of praise. And then this section of scripture closes. Yeah, you all can laugh over there, young ladies. With Mary stating in verse 56, it says, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. The surrounding scenes are all filled with waiting. On one hand, you have both of these women who are waiting for their very special babies. And on the other hand, you have all of creation is waiting. Both the women and the world are waiting for the purposes and plans and the promises of God to be worked out, which is precisely where we find ourselves this morning. We are all waiting for Jesus to return, for God to work all things out. In fact, God is our model of waiting. The Bible repeatedly shows God as being patient, long-suffering, faithful, and God waits. God waited for Abraham to arrive at his appointed place. He waited while Noah built an ark. God waited for an entire generation of Israelites to dry off so that the next generation could enter into the promised land. God waited. From the end of Malachi, at the end of the Old Testament, 400 years until the birth of Jesus at the beginning of the New Testament. He waited another 9 months for his son to be born. God waited 33 years for the cross, and finally, he waited 3 more days for the victory to be completed. The Apostle Peter, he wrote that even now, God is waiting. He was writing to the people who were wondering when Jesus was going to return. Since they were undergoing all this persecution, they were wondering, how long can I wait? And so Peter writes to them, and he says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Think about God the Father as he is portrayed in the parable of the prodigal son. Day after day, he longingly looks out over the countryside for his son to return. You see, that right there is a picture of God. The one who is waiting. The one who is waiting for us. Waiting for us to slow down. To listen. To wait. The one who is waiting for people to respond to him. For hearts to change and for faith to be born. But God can wait. Because he knows what he is doing. Listen again to the words of Peter. "But do not forget one thing, my dear friends. There is no difference in the Lord's sight between one day and 1,000 years. To him, the two are the same. The Lord is not slow to do what he has promised, as some think. Instead, he is patient with you because he does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants all to turn away from their sins." God is waiting. Giving everyone the opportunity to turn to him. God knows how long it will take, and God knows what it will take. And God is working all things out. But how can I wait so long? What does a mindset of waiting look like? Well, it begins by believing and accepting that God is sovereign. When we have faith in God's sovereignty, you know, that God is in charge and he is working all things out for good, then we can begin to accept and to rise above our situations and our circumstances. Now, that's not the same thing as giving up. It's not this reluctant to surrender to whatever happens. No, you see, Mary, she was blessed because she accepted her calling and everything that it involved, even the waiting. That's faith. It is the presence of the Spirit who enables us to believe that the invisible purposes of God are being worked out for and through us. God's prenatal activity in Elizabeth and Mary, it only proves it. He will, in his way, bring justice, peace, and healing to the world. He worked in a loving, sovereign way with an elderly woman who was too old to bear children and in a young maiden who was a virgin. He worked through a birth in a stable. He worked through a king being born in a lowly town of Bethlehem. He used a cross for a throne, and he used a tomb as a symbol of life. Our Benjamin Garrison, he wrote that one Christmas, his wife gave him something that he really, really wanted, a computerized chess game. He said that one night he found himself shouting at this game, "All right, you idiot, if you're going to cheat, then I'm not going to play with you any longer." But of course, the game had not cheated. It had simply and subtly made a decisive move several minutes before that Garrison had never noticed. The computer all the while was edging him toward this inevitable victory, letting him make his own moves. Some of them were good and some of them were bad. Garrison then said, "That is quite like what God had done in the serious game of life and salvation. Sometime back over 20 centuries ago, God made the decisive, but mostly unnoticed move of sending his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. That move, it secured the future. That move guaranteed the outcome. And meanwhile, we are free to go on making our moves on the chessboard of life. Some rather good and others are unbelievably bad. Yet all the while, God is edging us toward the inevitable triumph. Not over us, but in us. You see, God is sovereign. And once you can accept that, and once you come to that understanding, then that will free you to adopt the second characteristic of waiting. And that is a mindset to resolve to live a godly life. Peter, in his letters, again, he wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, and he says, "What kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him." And so, what does that look like? Well, Peter also says in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." And he continues and he says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." See, that right there is what Advent is all about. How can we wait so long? By living a Spirit-filled life each and every day. If we do that, how long will we have to wait? Well, we don't know. And because we don't know how long we have to wait, how much time we have, we must live godly lives here and now. What we do know and what we do have is this: the blessing of today, this time right now, the power and the potential of its hours and its minutes. What we do know is that God has work for us to do, and that's probably why we're still here. He has called us to be faithful to the tasks that are at hand, to live in a way that hastens the day of Jesus' return. The best way to develop and to maintain the mindset of believing and resolving is to spend quality time with God. While it's always important, we should be doing that all the time, it's especially important during the Advent season, because it's very easy during the holidays and the Advent to get so caught up in the busyness and the things going around us that oftentimes we leave God out. Ron Johnson, he addressed that once in a devotional called The Upper Room. And he wrote, "During a heavy downpour, my little sedan whished to a stop in the middle of a foot-deep mud puddle. Anxiously, he tried to start the engine, but the engine was soaked. A passerby stopped his truck. "Here's what you do," he said. "Stop cranking the starter before you kill the battery. Just sit and wait. There's enough heat in the engine block to dry out the plugs and the wires. But you've got to wait about 20 minutes. And then he left. Johnson says he took the man's advice and he sat there and he waited, which seems like an eternity when you're sitting in the middle of a foot-deep puddle. And when he turned the key, the engine started on the very first try. He was on his way. And he was reminded that there are times in our lives when things come to a complete stop. But in that time, God teaches us a lesson that can be only learned when we are still. We discovered that the secret to power and strength for our lives is in our willingness to wait in God's presence for renewal. Just when you are able to do that, God may say to you, "The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God, and the Holy Spirit is upon you, and the power of the Most High overshadows you." So how can I wait so long? It begins by believing and accepting that God is sovereign. And then to resolve to live a godly life, both of which can be achieved by spending quality time with God. Be the conduit through which God transforms hearts and lives. He comforts all who mourn. Bring good news to the poor. Help heal the brokenhearted. Announce release to captives and freedom to those who are in prison. Proclaim that now is the time the Lord is saving. You see, it is about Jesus. The promise that was kept, God in flesh, and that should be the longing of our hearts, because he is Emmanuel, God with us.